I bid you welcome tonight in the Saviour's name to the House of God for prayer meeting and Bible study here in Ballymoney. It's a warm evening. We've been having some lovely weather, and it's good to see so many people here tonight, even to come and to worship the Lord. We're going to begin our service tonight by singing our opening hymn of praise. It is hymn 247. It is hymn, "'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung, 'Tis the grandest theme for our mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung, our God is able to deliver thee." And after we get our introduction from our organist and pianist, we will remain seated and we'll sing this unto the Lord. Can sing, and I always enjoy preaching in Ballymoney because these are great singers. I'm not a great singer myself, so it always helps whenever I have such good singers to carry me along. We're going to come now and we're going to commence our service tonight in a word of prayer, so perhaps we could just come now and seek God's face together. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity that awaits us tonight. We thank thee for this prayer meeting and Bible study here in Ballymoney. We thank thee for the open door. We thank thee for the church here in Hebron and for the gospel witness and for the stand that this church takes in this town of Ballymoney. We thank thee for our minister here. We pray for the Reverend Park, for his wife. We thank thee for them, for their family. We pray even at this time that they would be enjoying times of refreshment, times of rest, and that you would give him a new zeal for thee, Lord. You bring him back again to the pulpit, Lord, with a new fire for Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, just at this time, Lord, we pray for this meeting. We pray that you would come, that you would be one of our number tonight. You would be our portion. Oh, Lord, how awful would it be that if this meeting went past and we didn't even know Christ? But, Lord, we do rejoice that thou hast said in thy word that where the two or three are gathered together in thy name, there will thou be in the midst of us, Lord. And, Lord, we pray this, Lord, we plead this promise that thou would come even amongst us tonight and that thou would tabernacle amongst us. Thou would be with us. Lord, we think of the needs here at the church. We think of all of the works associated with it. We pray even for the Sabbath day. We thank thee for your servant, Mr. Anderson, Simon Anderson. Lord, we thank thee for him. And even for, Lord, the message that he brought last Sunday morning and evening, for the challenge it was to her own heart. And we pray for him even again tonight, Lord, as you would prepare him for this coming Lord's Day. Think of him, his family, his wife, his children, Lord, that you'll be with him at this time. Even, Lord, over the summer, that you would prepare a place in a church for him, Lord, to call his own, Lord, and a congregation that would be united even to him. We pray also just for the many works, as has been said here. We think of the upcoming youth challenge in the summer. We pray that there would be a good turnout, there would be a good outcome, Lord, from people in the area, Lord, that they bring the children in, Lord, and despite all the things that have been going on this past year, that thou would bring the children in and that souls would be saved. Lord, we think also just of our nation at this time, this nation, Lord, that was once on fire for God, that is now so far from thee. We pray for it, Lord. We pray that you would bring it back to thyself, that you would draw many souls into thy kingdom, even tonight, that you would start a revival here in this church in Ballymoney, Lord. That, Lord, many souls will be drawn into the kingdom. Lord, we thank thee tonight for Christ. We thank thee for the finished work on the cross of Calvary. We thank thee that thou to go to the middle tree and cry, it is finished. We thank thee for the blood atonement. We thank thee that thou hast paid it all, and that the blood has the power to cleanse the deepest and the darkest and the vilest of sin. We thank thee tonight we come to a God in heaven who is alive, a God who ever lives to make intercession for us. Lord, not a God of wood, not a God of stone, not a God of idols, but the living and breathing God in heaven. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We thank thee for the Bible that we have before us as well. We thank thee for your word. We thank thee for the truth of the scriptures and for that special revelation that has been given to us that reveals so much for each and every one of us. We pray for the congregation here. We pray that we'll be encouraged tonight as we look even at this man Jonah again. As we consider the second part in this little mini-series, we pray that we would be encouraged in our own souls. You'd even encourage my heart as even I would preach, as I would bring your word, Lord. We pray tonight that it would be the words of God, that the words of man would fall to the ground and be as nothing. Oh Lord, how awful would it be if I came here with my own ideas and my own agenda. But Lord, I thank thee tonight that thou hast given the word, and we pray that it will go forth with power under the demonstration of the gospel tonight. We pray also for the mission field, for even those far afield tonight, those maybe who are in bygone lands and that are far even from friends, from family, who have given up their lives to serve thee. We thank thee for them. We think of Noreen in Uganda, Lord. We think of Joanne Greer in Liberia. We think of others too at this time who have stepped out even on the promises of God. And we pray for more missionaries, Lord. We pray for more ministers of the gospel, Lord. Truly we can say tonight that the harvest field is white, but the labourers are few. Now, Lord, we pray that you would send forth more labourers into your harvest field for your own honour and glory. So, Lord, continue with us here tonight. Bless us. Bless the time of prayer. We think of that in a little while, that you would even encourage your people to pray. Even someone, Lord, maybe hasn't prayed before. Lord, may you even touch their heart tonight and lead them out with Christ. So, Lord, answer prayer. Be with us, we ask of thee. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your honour and for your glory alone. Amen. Well, I just want to give again a welcome to the congregation here physically in the church tonight, and also those who are listening in online in sermon audio and Facebook and on YouTube. We're so grateful for the means that we have for these online services, or the online means that we have, and even for the ability for those who maybe can't make it out to into the meeting anymore. We thank thee for it. We welcome you in the Saviour's name. We begin the Lord's Day in our normal fashion with prayer at 8 a.m. We have the prayer meeting on Zoom, and I would encourage all who can make it out to this, even on Zoom, to tune in 8 a.m. and to meet God in the place of prayer. It is good to pray. It is good to pray, particularly on the Lord's Day. And therefore, if you can make it out, it would be good. It would encourage you all to do it. Our Lord's Day services at an usual time at 12 noon. We have our worship service, our gospel service at 7 p.m. And again, the speaker on the Lord's Day will be Mr. Simon Anderson. It's good to see him out tonight with his wife and kids. We enjoyed his ministry on Sunday. He wasn't here, of course, but I managed to catch it on the way back from where I was preaching, and I was really challenged and encouraged by it. So we pray for him. We trust that he will come again this Lord's Day with God's word. So keep him even in prayer now, and keep him upon your heart, and even his wife and children also. On behalf of the session and committee, we would also like to thank you for your tithe, your offering for God's work. You are a very generous people here in Ballymoney. I can say that even for myself and how you supported me in the past, and even also for all the giving that you do. And we thank you even in the Lord's name for it. It doesn't go unnoticed, and God thanks you tonight. These are all the way of announcements. Of course, they are subject to God's will. We're going to come now, and we're going to sing our second hymn tonight. It is the hymn 475 in the hymn book. It says, I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see. Yet one stands near to be my guide. He'll show the way to me. I know he holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by him is planned. Again, after we get our introduction, we will remain seated, and we'll just sing this lovely hymn unto the Lord. Turn now in God's Word to our scripture reading. It's found in Jonah, the book of Jonah, chapter 2. We're going to continue with this little mini series on Jonah's prayer. I have certainly enjoyed studying this man Jonah and even looking at it afresh. And I trust as we come to consider another aspect of Jonah's life here tonight, that you too will be encouraged, you'll be blessed, and you will be challenged also. So it's Jonah chapter 2, please, I'm beginning to read from verse number 1. It says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and had vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And on to chapter 3 it says, And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Jonah was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Amen. We'll end our reading there, trusting that the Lord will even add his own blessing to God's public reading tonight. Just perhaps before we come to God's word tonight, to the preaching of it, we're going to seek his help in a further word of prayer. So let's again come and seek God's face. I need his help to preach this. I feel my weakness tonight. And each and every one here, I'm sure, can say too that they need God's help tonight, even to hear it and just to understand it. So let's pray now. Our Father in heaven and our gracious God, we thank thee for all that has gone into eternity so far in this meeting. We thank thee for these great hymns that we can sing. We thank thee for the prayers that have been offered up. We thank thee for the public reading. We thank thee for even now as you come to preach thy word. We pray that you would come and you would visit, you would come and even fill this preacher with God the Holy Ghost, that I might know that power from on high, Lord, I might know the infilling of thy Spirit, that you would just even use me tonight, this empty vessel, and mould me and shape me, and tell even me what I would have to say tonight. Pray for the congregation here, Lord, maybe perhaps there's maybe one who is weary, one who is tired. The Lord, it's been a long week, and we pray even that you will just encourage them tonight through the word of God, that you'll even just reinvigorate their souls tonight. For we ask all these things in your most precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. The year was 1940. To their front was the English Channel, and to their rear was the advancing German army. You see, this was the situation for hundreds of thousands of British and Allied troops there on the beaches of Dunkirk. With no way to escape, all they could do was wait and see what would get to them first. Would it be the advancing Nazi army, or would it be the rescue operation that was going on? You see, the war, World War II, it only began in 1939. But by May of 1940, the Nazi army had already steamrolled through the Netherlands, through Belgium, and they were tightening their grip on that country of France. It was already looking like Adolf Hitler's war to lose. Yet for some strange reason, even unbeknownst to us today, the Nazi army halted their advance. This offered the Allied troops here some needed respite. And in one final attempt to escape certain death, they retreated to the beaches of Dunkirk for what would be their final stand. Now, what they didn't know what was going on back in the United Kingdom, back in Britain, was this. Across the water, there was a mass evacuation going on under the stewardship of the Prime Minister at the time, Winston Churchill. It was given the codename Operation Dynamo. And many boats of all shapes and sizes, many of them civilian boats, they were given the task of crossing the English Channel in order to rescue the waiting Allied soldiers. But this was in no way a straightforward operation. You see, because of where the beach in Dunkirk was situated, these larger vessels, they could not reach the shore. And therefore it was left to 7,800 smaller vessels, yachts, private boats, to go and to pick up these Allied troops and then to put them onto the larger vessels. But not only this, they also had to deal with the attack from the air. You see, the German Air Force, the Luftwaffe, they were peppering the channel as soon as they could. Whenever conditions were favourable, whenever the weather was good, those men, those women, they got into their aircraft and they shelled that beach as hard as they could. British intelligence estimated it would have been 2 days only before the Nazi army would have been on the move again. That would have meant that roughly 30,000 men could have been rescued. But for some strange reason, there was more confusion inside the Nazi army. And the rescue operation that would have been 2 days, it now went on for 8 days. And that meant that all 338,000 British and Allied troops were safely returned to the United Kingdom. You see, not many back home in Britain had expected Operation Dynamo to be a success. They expected it to be a failure because it was madness in the eyes of many. Yet on the 4th of June in 1940, whilst addressing the House of Commons, Winston Churchill, he described the rescue operation as this. He called it a miracle of deliverance.
He called it a miracle of deliverance. And last week, we considered Jonah's prayer of distress, didn't we? We've seen how Jonah found himself in the belly of that fish. We looked at the circumstances surrounding him being there. How he had tried to run from the call of God. How he was told to go to preach to Nineveh, but he didn't. We've seen also how God prepared the storm that led the sailors to throwing Jonah overboard. We also consider where Jonah was physically, where he was spiritually in relation to God. We've seen also how the circumstances brought him to the place of prayer, and finally we considered the one to whom Jonah prayed to. And you know, just as those soldiers there in Dunkirk would have wondered how they were ever going to escape this inescapable situation that they find themselves in. Surely Jonah would have felt the same way inside the belly of this fish. You see, Churchill dubbed it a so-called miracle of deliverance. But surely when we consider Jonah's situation, his was an actual miracle of deliverance. You see, Jonah prayed in a time of distress inside of that fish. And many people have asked me over this past week, is Jonah going to come out of the fish? You know, we left Jonah in the fish last week, and you know, people have been trying to get answers for me, you know, trying to get a sneak peek, if you like, but the answer is tonight, yes, Jonah is going to come out of the fish tonight. Jonah's not going to stay there tonight. And tonight we're going to look at Jonah in a message that I've entitled, Jonah's Deliverance Out of Distress. We're going to look at tonight at Jonah's deliverance out of distress. The first thing I see when considering Jonah's deliverance tonight is this. It is the perception that led to Jonah's deliverance. You see, Jonah here, to this point, he still was in the belly of the fish. But he had time now to think things over, and I think he began to realize in his own heart that the reason he found himself in this situation was because of his own doing. You see, up until this point in time, before Jonah had started to pray, Jonah was following his own heart. He was following his own way. He wasn't following the will of God, was he? God had told Jonah to go to Nineveh, yet Jonah had ignored God's advice, God's command. But now the realization comes to Jonah that everything that had been happening was down to God. We see that in Jonah chapter 2 in the verse 3 here. It says this. It says, "For thou hadst cast me into the deep. For thou, God, hadst cast me into the deep." That's what Jonah is saying here. Physically, of course, it was the sailors who had picked up Jonah and thrown Jonah overboard. But Jonah realized that behind all of this, it was the sovereign plan of God. You see, God, as I said last week, he was the one who prepared the storm, but God was also the one who had led the sailors to throw him overboard. God had prepared this prison for Jonah inside the belly of this great fish. And it was only when Jonah had realized this, only when Jonah had repented of his sinful behavior, only when Jonah took responsibility for his own decisions, for his own actions, that things began to change in Jonah's life. I said last week that I have no doubt that prior to this point in time, Jonah would have blamed everyone else. It would have been the Ninevites' problem. It would have been the sailors' fault. It probably would have also been God's fault in Jonah's mind. I say this because of who Jonah was. You see, Jonah was like each and every one of us here tonight because Jonah was a man. The natural reaction of man is to blame others, isn't it? Maybe you have heard the phrase, and I certainly have. It's not my fault. You know, he or she made me do that. Oh, don't blame me, blame them. You know, I didn't do anything to blame them. You see, this kind of behavior is not a recent phenomenon. It's not something of the 21st century. It's not a new trend, if you like, but it's something that has been going on since the creation of man. I want you to turn with me for a moment to Genesis chapter 3, just so we see this. Genesis chapter 3, please. It's a very well-known portion, of course, to the children of God. We find here the situation, the setting, if you like, is the Garden of Eden. The devil comes here in the form of a serpent, speaking lies unto Eve regarding the eating of that forbidden fruit. You know, Eve falls for the devil's lies, and she and Adam eat of that fruit. But not long after they've done that, the Lord comes and questions them regarding what they have done. You'll read with me here the words of verse 11, because what does God say here in verse 11? It says, "And he said," that is God, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the fruit whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Well, how does Adam respond to this question that he's asked? It says there in verse 12, "And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with thee, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." See, Adam blames Eve here, doesn't he? God then comes to question Eve, and what does Eve say in verse 13? It says, "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So Adam blames Eve, Eve blames the devil here. You know, one person here blames another, don't they? Yet the fact of the matter is that the fault here lies with Eve. You see, Eve would have already desired this fruit in her heart. She already would have thought about this in her heart. She was going to eat this fruit before the physical act was carried out. See, because the thoughts of her heart, the inward part of man, everything starts in her heart and then it becomes outward, doesn't it? So Eve would have already decided in her heart she was going to eat this fruit. All the devil did was he came along and he goaded her, he exploited her weakness, if you like, and he presented her with the excuse that she needed to eat this forbidden fruit. We see the same behavior in the life of Moses there. Because Moses, in Numbers chapter 20, we read that God commanded Moses to talk to the rock, didn't he? But what did Moses do? Moses smote the rock twice. Moses failed here to sanctify the Lord before the children of Israel. This resulted in his exclusion from the entering of the promised land. And 40 years later, as they now stood in the borders of Canaan, we still read of Moses blaming the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 26 says, but the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes. Speaking to the children of Israel here, he says, the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes. You see, 40 years had passed, and Moses still hadn't taken full responsibility for his own failure to listen and to obey the command of God. And what of David? King David and his dealings there with Bathsheba, with Uriah. See, it wasn't until that man Nathan came and uttered those well-known words. He says, thou art the man. David, thou art the man. That David realized that he was to blame for his actions. And only then did David repent of his sinful behavior. You know, if we are honest with ourselves tonight here, how different are we from these men and women? You know, we may not have performed such sinful acts as David did. We may not be guilty of disobeying the command of God as Jonah did. But I am sure we all have in the past blamed somebody else for something that was our own fault. Because the truth of the matter is, tonight nobody is perfect. You know, we all have our faults, we all have our failings. You see, there was only one person who ever walked on this earth who was without fault, and that, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, even those who reviled Christ, even those who hated him, agreed on this very point. You see, what did Pontius Pilate say there in Luke chapter 23? We find there Christ is in the judgment room just before he goes to the cross. And Pontius Pilate says to the people, says to the crowd there in Luke chapter 23, I find no fault in him. Judas Iscariot, that man who betrayed Christ with 30 pieces of silver. He says, I have betrayed the innocent blood. You see, it was only when Jonah truly repented that the Lord delivered Jonah here. You know, what a lesson that should be for us tonight to re-examine our own lives. To take responsibility for our own actions, past, present, and future. We also ought to pray to God about these and ask God to deliver us from even these trials and difficulties that we get ourselves into. But not only do we see tonight this perception that led to Jonah's deliverance, but we also see in the second place the promptness of Jonah's deliverance. We see secondly the promptness of Jonah's deliverance. You see, unbeknownst to Jonah here at the time, while he was praying here, the Lord was already directing the path of that fish toward land. Turn with me again back to Jonah, to Jonah chapter 2, and the verse 10 says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. You see, like with the storm here in Jonah chapter 1, we see another demonstration, do we not, of the power of God. The power that God has over his creation. You see, the same God here who created this fish, he was the same God who had the power to control and command that fish. Psalm 33 in the verse 9 says, for he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. You know, not only do we see here the power of God, but we also see that Jonah's prayer was answered immediately. Because as soon as Jonah had prayed, the very next thing that we read of is that God spake to that fish, and that fish vomited out Jonah onto dry land. Jonah was finally free here from his prison cell with little more than some vomit to show for it. You know, I believe that wherever Jonah went here in the future, this would have been a reminder to him of the disobedience that he had even been partaking in. Of course, no doubt he would have washed that vomit off as soon as he could. But I believe that Jonah would never have forgotten the smell of that vomit. He would never have forgotten the smell of inside of that fish's belly. And it would have reminded him, I believe, of how he had grieved the Lord so terribly. You know, this is true when you and I feel the Lord too, isn't it? You see, we often find ourselves looking back at our past sins, and they still grieve us. They still grieve us so very much whenever we consider what we have done to the Lord in the past, how we failed Him. You know, what does the Bible tell us that God does with these sins? Well, if you just turn over to the next book here, to Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7, please, in the verse 19 says, it says here, He will turn again, He will have compassion upon us, He will subdue our iniquities, and thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You see, the Lord here had already forgotten Jonah's past sins. They had been left in the depths of the sea with that great fish. You know, the Lord does the same for you and I tonight too, because it says in Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Perhaps we could turn to another portion tonight in Acts chapter 12. Turn with me to the Acts of the Apostles, please, in the chapter 12. Because we find here another example of prayer that has been answered immediately. Acts chapter 12. We have here Peter. He's a man of God. He's been cast into prison. You look what we read here in the words of verse 5 down to verse 10. It says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garments about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from them. You see, what was the situation here? It was this. A group of Christians like us tonight, they gathered to pray. They gathered to pray, but little did they know that God was already answering their prayer as they prayed. You see, such was the surprise when that woman Rhoda came to the door there in verses 13 and 14. When she heard Peter's voice, she didn't open the door, did she? No, she ran off to tell the others that it was Peter. In verse 15, it tells us that the people didn't believe her. We read there, it says, And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. See, they'd been praying here, but yet it seemed to me that they had little faith that the Lord would actually answer their prayer. You know, when I thought about this portion of Scripture for tonight, I saw myself in these Christians. Because there have been many times in my life when I have found myself weak in faith. Maybe someone here tonight has felt the same way. You know, you've prayed about something. And although we know and we believe that God answers prayer, we've seen it in our lives. But at the same time, we don't believe that He could actually answer that prayer that we've prayed at the time. You know, our daily prayer needs to be that of the apostles, does it not? In Luke chapter 17 and the verse 5, they say, Lord, increase our faith. We need to pray that each and every day. Lord, increase our faith. See, in Jonah here and Peter, we see that the Lord can and does answer prayer immediately. But there are also times when the Lord doesn't answer prayer immediately. You see, there are times when the Lord makes us wait. And when this happens in your life and my life, the worst thing that we could ever do was to stop praying and to give up, to say the Lord isn't going to answer that prayer, He doesn't care about me, He doesn't love me. All the things that perhaps maybe one of us have said in the past. You see, the truth is the Lord always has a reason for this. You know, It might be that your prayer isn't in God's will. It could be that our motives are wrong. It could be of some unconfessed sin that He's dealt with. It could be a lack of faith in your life. It could be a lack of trust. It could also be the timing's not right. The Lord is saying, I'll answer that prayer, but it's not yet. Now is not the right time. You know, it could even be this very thing too that we're asking will actually end up getting us into more difficulty than good. Isaiah chapter 55 and the verse 8 and 9 tell us this. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." See, the truth we see here in this prophecy of Isaiah is this. God knows what is best for you. God knows what is best for me. And we can be assured that He is working out all things for our own good and all things for His own glory. We have considered tonight this perception. We've considered also the promptness. But the third and final thing I want us to look at tonight is the product from Jonah's deliverance. We see, thirdly, the product from Jonah's deliverance, because go back again to Jonah chapter 2, please. And read with me here the words of verse 8. It says, "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." See, these words, lying vanities, they literally mean breaths of emptiness. It is a reference here to the worshipping of idols. Now, who was Jonah speaking about here in verse 8? Who was Jonah referring to here? Well, it doesn't tell us here, but you know, he could have been speaking about the pagan soldiers or sailors there in Jonah chapter 1. He could have been speaking about himself, because Jonah had tried to flee from the presence of God, hadn't he? He tried to follow his own heart. He had followed his own heart, as often as an idol to each and every one. I believe he would have also been speaking about the people of Nineveh. See, that city of Nineveh, that great city, was known for its idol worship. Particularly of the worship of the goddess Ishtar, who is the god of love, the god of war. And perhaps Jonah here had experienced a change in his heart. That experience inside the fish had changed Jonah's heart. Because Jonah now appeared to show compassion to the unsaved. You know, there are many today who are worshipping the wrong things. Many today who need to hear the gospel, who are blinded to the truth, who are in false religion, who are in cults and other things. And we too must show compassion upon them, because to do that, it is to be like Christ. It is to be like Christ, which is and should be the desire of every Christian. See, in Matthew chapter 9 and the verse 36, it says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." You many here tonight have had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home. Many tonight have had the privilege of having Christian parents who have taught them, who have told them about their need of Christ from a young age. But you know, not everybody has this same privilege. And therefore, as Christians, we all have a duty, surely, to tell the lost about Jesus Christ, to tell them about their need of salvation. You know, Jonah's deliverance here brought about a change in his heart, and you and I too have had our hearts changed. See, we have been delivered from the bondage of sin, and the Holy Spirit has regenerated our heart, and we are new creatures in Christ. But you know, not only here do we see a change in Jonah's heart as a result of his deliverance here, but we also see that Jonah is now willing to go through with God. Because in Jonah chapter 2 and the verse 9, we read these words, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed." Now, the literal translation of those words here, "I will pay that I have vowed," it is this. It is, "That which I have vowed, I complete." He says, "That which I have vowed, I complete." You see, at some point during Jonah's prayer, Jonah here made the promise to God that he would go to Nineveh if the Lord would spare his life and deliver him from this fish. God, of course, answered that prayer, and now Jonah vows to go. And we see this vow coming to fruition here in Jonah chapter 3, in the verse 3, because it says there, "So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Not only do we see a change in Jonah's heart as a result of his deliverance, but we also see here as well that Jonah's heart has been changed. You see, God has spared Jonah's life in response he had followed God's will. You know, God has done the same for you and I too tonight. He has saved us. He has delivered us from spending an eternity in hell. He has given us new life. We are new creatures in Christ. And therefore, I say this tonight, may this be a challenge to our own hearts. That because of the truth here that we see in Jonah, we ought to be obedient to the will of God for the rest of our lives. I say his experience changed his heart towards those in Nineveh, didn't it? He obeyed the command of God to go, but one final thing we see here is that Jonah's experience gave him a renewed sense of who God was. This experience gave Jonah a renewed sense of who God was, because look at those wonderful words here at the end of Jonah chapter 2 and the verse 9. Jonah says, salvation is of the Lord. You know, this is the truth that Jonah had experienced in the past, yet somewhere along the way he lost sight of this truth. And God had to bring him through a trial in order to bring Jonah back to his former self. You see, in spite of all that Jonah would have went through inside of that fish's belly, God did this in order that he would be brought into closer communion with God. You know, Jonah, I believe, would have been able to echo those words of the psalmist. In Psalm 119, in the verses 75 and 76, he said, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. You see, him here is the case in our own lives tonight. You see, say, God doesn't bring pleasure into your life, in my life. He doesn't bring difficulties in because he enjoys it. He doesn't do it in order to punish us, in order to cause us harm. But no, he does it out of love for us. He does it out of love for us because when he chastens us, he does it so that we will be led back to him. He does it so that we will be brought closer again to God. You see, Jonah's situation changed when he acknowledged that he was to blame. God heard, God answered Jonah's prayer immediately there, and Jonah's heart was changed by God because of all that he'd gone through. You know, I trust that all that I've said tonight, all that I've said last week, it has been an encouragement to you. I trust it will have been some benefit to you as well if you ever find yourself in a difficult situation. Most importantly, it is my prayer, it is my desire tonight that we would all learn together from Jonah's experience. That we would all endeavour together to obey God's will in whatever he has for your life and for my life. You must remember the truth tonight, you know, God's ways are perfect. You know, our ways aren't perfect, but God's ways is perfect. You know, the truth of the matter is tonight, as we leave this even portion of Jonah, you know, to be in the centre of God's will, it's the best place for any Christian to be. And therefore, if God is calling you to do something for him, whatever it might be, no longer run from the call of God, but come to God tonight. Be in the centre of God's will tonight, and I pray tonight, and it is my desire, that you would follow God's will like Jonah did. You see, Jonah went to Nineveh, and although he went reluctantly, thousands of souls were reached with the gospel. And you know, God could use some individual here tonight to reach thousands with the gospel. And I trust that what I said tonight will have been an encouragement to you, will have been a challenge to you, and that you'll even remember this man, Jonah, and you'll never look at him in the same way again. I pray that God will even just write this word upon our hearts tonight for his name's sake. Just before we come to our time of prayer, we'd perhaps bow in a word of prayer, and we'll just close this part of the meeting. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we come again and thank you for the life and the account of this man Jonah. We thank thee that thou did deliver him, that he did repent of his ways, that he seen, Lord, the error of his ways. And we pray, Lord, if there be any here tonight that need to reevaluate their lives, if I need to reevaluate my life, Lord, I pray that you would put your finger on something tonight, you would show me it tonight, and Lord, that we would even be brought back to thyself. So Lord, bless us tonight, continue just with us here in the time of prayer, and give help, Lord, as we come to thee even now, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just as we come to the time of prayer now, we will just leave the prayer request with you. This, of course, slide will be familiar with you all by now. Pray, of course, here for the ministry at Hebron. It's good to see the Reverend Park and his wife out tonight and enjoying their holidays. We trust that they've had a good time and they've had a restful time. And just continue to pray for him, for Mrs. Park also, and for the family, just that God will just continue to have his hand upon them. Pray also for gospel opportunities, for conversions of souls. As I said last week, it is a difficult time, perhaps, to reach people with the gospel, but God is still able. You see, nothing is impossible with God, is it? And therefore, we need to keep praying for this and keep praying for gospel opportunities, and we need to see the souls saved as well here in Ballymoney. Pray for the children, the youth, the seniors of the church, those perhaps who are at home who can't make it out for legitimate reasons. Pray for them. Encourage them even tonight in the place of prayer. Pray for the office bearers here in Ballymoney, for the workers, and also for the students as well. As we're on, I want to say a holiday, but we're keeping busy with preaching, and it's good to have the opportunity to preach and to get the experience that is much needed. So pray for us as well. Pray for the missionary work. Pray for all of those needs as well, the temporal, the physical, and the spiritual needs. Pray also for the NHS service. Pray particularly for
the ones that are associated here with the church in Ballymoney. We leave the sick and needy also with you tonight. You know the names. These names have been on this list for a while. Pray for them. Perhaps even a few of us tonight could pray for one or two of them by name and just leave them even at the throne of grace. And just one final thing. I was speaking to Erwin before the service and just pray again for Carl's brother, Mr. James Stevenson. He's still in hospital at this time. He is recovering. From what I know, he is doing okay. But he's going to be in the hospital for a little while just while he makes that recovery. So pray for him, that God will continue to put his hand upon him, raise him up, and even pray for Carl and for all the Holmes family as well. We're just going to come now to this place of prayer, and I'm going to leave it open to the people here tonight. And whenever you feel led, just come in and seek God's face. So let's come to him now, and let's get to the place of prayer.
His faithfulness to the blood and to the book. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless him even as he has a season, a holiday over these next few weeks. Grant that thou wilt undertake for him. We pray, Lord, for the ministry on the Lord's Day, that as Simon once more stands before the sacred desk, opens up the word of God and expounds the whole counsel of thy truth, that thou wilt bless us and be with him. Give him the joy of reading where another hath so faithfully sown. We do think of the aged and the infirm, the sick of the fellowship, those who are unable to be with us, those that may be laid aside on beds of pain and sickness. We pray that thou wilt bless them and touch them, the very point of their need, raise them to a full measure of health and of strength. We again pray, especially for Nigel, Lord. Bless this man, we pray, and grant that thou wilt touch his body and undertake for him in the days which would lie ahead. We think of James Stevenson as well, in hospital, Lord. We pray that you will draw graciously near unto him. We just ask, Lord, that you will raise him to a full measure of health and strength, and grant that very soon he'll be back home with his family. So, Lord, bless us and keep thy hand upon us. We do think of these summer months when the boys and girls and the young people are away from the fellowship and the meetings are off. We pray, Lord, that you'll keep your hand of protection and blessing upon them. And for youth challenged, we pray that it might please thee to bring in the young people once more over these next few weeks, as the invitations would go out. We pray, Lord, that thou would stir the hearts and souls of these young lives. Bring them in under the sound of thy truth. And grant that many of them, yea, Lord, that all of them might come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us, we pray, for we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen. too, so far away. We thank you for his involvement here in Hebron and his membership here, Lesson, and his wife Anita and his family, the commitment to thee. We pray for the blessing of God's new challenge as it's organized, as the details come together. Lord, bring the children in from this locality onto the sound of the word and prepare the ground even now. Give us the workers that are sold out to the Lord, men and women and young people that are anointed for this work in the summertime. May there be a harvest of souls among the children even this summer. Lord, we're able to save them, and for this we pray earnestly tonight. Remember James Stevenson, we commit him to thee. Lord, you know all that has befallen him, you know the detail, you know exactly what's wrong with his body. We thank you for the treatment that he is receiving, the care that is given to him in the hospital. We pray that he'll guide the doctors and nurses, and may the hand of the great physician be upon him. Remember the congregation here, and bless this church, we pray, for Christ's sake.
Give them strength just to fight off their husbands, just to be there for them, Lord, and just to be able to lead them into. And Lord, we pray for the ministry of this church, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you for our pastor. We thank you for his family, Lord. We thank you for the goodness they've been to us and the blessing they've been to us. We pray, Lord, that you reach them, you touch them, and you continue to use each and every one of them, Lord. We thank you. We thank the family, especially, Lord, at this time as he fits to do our youth challenge. We pray, Lord, that you take some of the pressure off them, that you bring in workers, that you bring in the children, Lord, that you give them names and numbers, just as you call, Lord, for each and every one of us, that you make the work easy, Lord. Lord, we pray for those that mourn at this present time, Lord, we think especially of the Kim family. We pray, Lord, that you reach them and touch them and just take away their sorrow and their pain and give them complete understanding, Lord, but mostly, Lord, we pray that you would comfort them. And we pray for the sake of the church, Lord, we pray for each and every one of them, our list as well. And pray especially, Lord, for our Mackay and Nigel, Lord. Each and every one of us, Lord, we know what it's like to wake up with pain in our bodies. But think of Nigel especially, Lord, who wakes up without pain each and every day. And we pray that you reach him and to touch him and pray with him. We pray for this Sunday, Lord. The same comes once again. If your word, Lord, we pray that you fill him with the Holy Spirit. Fill him to overflow, Lord. Bring him, Lord, and pray, Lord, that as we come, Lord, you will take away all distractions from outside and from inside, Lord. From inside our heads, from inside our bodies, that we sit up, Lord, and we be ready to receive your word. To understand it and to lay it in our hearts. And we pray, Lord, for going on with you, Lord, we pray that for these conversations that we're to have with other people, we pray for that opportunity, Lord, that you give us that opportunity, Lord. There's strange times they are, and I know, Lord, that we've got a lot of time in our hands to read and study your word and to understand it. But we pray, Lord, that you would lead us, you would guide us, you would use us, Lord. We pray especially for salvation, Lord. We think for family members that are not saved. Yes. We pray for each and every one of them, Lord. We pray for all my brethren and fellow at this time. and we pray for each and every family, Lord, that this week then touch hearts, Lord, and bring them in, Lord, and save them. We pray in Jesus' name.
Again, thank you. Lord, Lord, again, thank you. Thank you for helping the heaven to pray and to go to work. Thank you for them. And Lord, just pray, Lord, to bless them. And to beg and strong and pray this way. Thank you for these lessons. And Lord, to attention again, again, to just thank you for that. Lord, just to Lord, to help the Lord. Even apply our interest. Take direction from our own to learn, even from our own business. So we just pray for ownership, be with them, thank you for help you ever need it, feel the resource and study it from the age on. Pray, Lord, for this rest and evening to minister, take service, and be the people to work with day by day. And we're calmly blessed and pray for David, and pray for Jonathan, pray for Simon, Lord, just be Lord, to bless. Simon, in the days of my death, lead him engaging, Lord, as you know, even us as we work here, and then fear a direction from me in the coming day. Thank you for your point, our glad over and under, and there's that going wrong, you know, the burden they had, even over there, there's no place to run there. We just pray, Lord, for the conscious aspect, Lord, to see many of you take it even not down, Lord, not lost down, Lord, to see many. Come to trust you in the church. So we just pray for the weekend meetings again, for the time to come to Lord, and we thank you for thy word of God, and we pray, Lord, for blessing, that you come to us, God, again, and we pray, Lord, to come, and every word, Lord, that we brought to them, and we know that that's the Holy Spirit, just leading them and guiding them, that ends the word of this congregation, so we pray. Pray for the worship service and for the gospel service and for this pray, Lord, even for the one saved the other hand. You know, the, thank you even for thy word, God, Sabbath night, and in order for the, and for those, Lord, even for the other hand, who want to say, just pray, Lord, to continue to go, not blessed, Lord, even the self used of the, we pray for this, God, Lord, to bless again, Lord, do your work, for this time, for this time. Pray for Lord Foster, Lord, and you get the work in politics and his wife, Lord, they pray, Lord, for just pass out and strengthen and broaden his soul, for the fight for fresh food, carry the work on here, and remember even the open air, the month of August, pray, Lord, even as I work this close, south of the south air, Lord, and not just ask, work for God, Lord, we just thank you for what you've done here, and my business is not one mom or even up there and look at well able to be not even here and believe them and all and all these different districts. Lord, the work is for Lord, the old Savior of all us now. And Lord, even though all these even up to our friends, some son of them. Lord, you're well able to do, Lord, you're able to see it, Lord, you're able to do even more abundantly and ask of them. Lord, many things, Lord, you're able to pay to us. I'm not sure, but you know, we're the same yesterday, the same, so we're going to be great, Lord, and the lightning, our own purpose, and you know, we just leave all these things to bring to you. Remember, through the sick, Lord, and you know, that we're unable to meet with us, Lord, and met with us in the past, Lord, and this mountain thing, Lord, that we're probably the same and sickness, you know, to meet with that mark at all. Just continue to grow forward, please her pain, thank you for someone previous there, pray for this mother as well, Lord, we want the number to measure again, Lord. We just say, Lord, please to just very shortly, Lord, touch this mom. Bring him, Lord, to that place, Lord, to help again and strength. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, for the rest shower and soup of air. We just pray, Lord, to release something that's special, Lord, very shortly, Lord, to measure the price of the cross and strength again. Lord, we just leave all these things to think of just thank you for forgiveness here, just thanks for the day and saved and pray all my soul to keep us, Lord, every year, every second, every day. Lord, even your thoughts are upon us, and even those things, whenever we're thinking of other things, we're thinking that you're a savior upon us. And Lord, you're in my mind at all times. And we're in the very heart of your heart. And Lord, we just want to thank you for all your many blessings. Remember the youth child as well as Francis and they're all saying, Lord, we pray, Lord, to bless them, even the young people, Lord, in the mountains. We pray, Lord, to keep them all safe. And as I work with folks, we pray, Lord, to bless those who bring us the word. We pray, Lord, even some of those young people, Lord, some who even fear not, we promise our Savior to keep them in the name of Jesus, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for me again that we can come into thy presence. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being with our voice. And thank you for the glory of the spoken to us tonight. We love the glory and the power to each of the believers. Lord, we ask for the word here in our mind. We realize, Lord, that it is a busy time. Any man, Lord, who has heard us at the need of salvation, we pray that you'll bless the services of the Lord. Pray for Simon as he comes to preach thy word. We ask, Lord, that you will fill him with life, Lord. And Lord, may his words, Lord, be an encouragement to every person who is gathered. Lord, we just ask that the unsaved will be brought in. And Lord, that even this Sabbath day we might see some soul come to thee. Pray for Tony tonight that you'll bring him in. You'll speak to his heart, Lord. We thank you that he knows the gospel. That he's a child. And just pray, Lord, that you will work in his heart and bring him unto yourself. We pray for Sean. Pray for the two deacons, Lord, that you'll deal with these men's hearts. Bring them in unto the Son of God. Even bring in visitors, Lord, from the deacons, we pray. Move in our hearts at this time, we pray. Lord, we ask that you'll bless every activity of this congregation that we see the challenge coming up later on. And we pray for the boys and girls of this area, Lord, that they will be brought in under the sanctified word. And oh Lord, that we might see many boys and girls brought to yourself. That we'll see many brought into the Sunday school when it reopens in September. Oh, Father, we just pray that this area, Lord, will be reached with the gospel, that many precious souls will be saved. Remember our services of void on the internet. We pray that you'll speak to those who listen. We ask, Lord, that many who might never even come through the church door will hear that word, and that they will come and get right with you. Remember those who have gone to other lands to minister that word, Lord. We pray for Alex and Vanessa tonight, that you'll bless them. Pray for John and Miranda, Lord, that you will be with them. And oh God, we just pray that you'll move even in their churches at this time. Thank you, Lord, for souls saved a few weeks ago in Toledo. We thank you, Lord, that this has been an answer to prayer, and we rejoice in this. And we ask, Lord, that you'll give us no need to make, Lord, and carry me down. Be her portion, Lord, and bless her. May she know much of thy help and blessing in these things. We ask, Lord, that you will continue to be with us. We thank you, Lord, for your hand upon us. We thank you, Lord, for your protecting hand that you have during these days of good providence. And we pray, Lord, that you put a circle of the blood of Christ even around each and every one of us in this congregation of this Jesus. Bless Mr. and Mrs. Park. Holiday at this time, we pray that the Lord bless you in your bodies, and O Lord, that you will come by. Fill with thy spirit, Lord, to see your power of the congregation in this place. Do come take you in this morning. Holy Spirit, of prayer upon you, we pray tonight. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I come to you in prayer and in your deed. Thank you, Lord, for this day of fulfillment. Pray, Lord, that we would present the Lord of Washington Church and the Lord of the Church of the Lord. I pray that all the souls of the Lord of the Washington Church of the Lord of the Church of the Lord. When he speaks his heart and mind, may he have a change of heart and a change of thought. Lord, we humble the things we have found to be children. May we still gain to help us run. We hear and answer all prayers that we pray for Jesus. We choose the Lord as speaking to God for one time. The only he has no counsel to be part of the Father, but he has no fear. Forever the Christ is God, and he is love to send to peace. We pray, Lord, that you will hear and answer all prayers that we pray for one. I pray that you will hear the one counsel. It's not for you, Lord, to be asked, and that you restore the self-faith. I pray, Lord, that you will undertake the soul, and that your will be done on earth and in heaven. These things I ask and pray, Lord Jesus. Thank you, please. Be to you, Lord. Glory be to you, Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for this prayer. Thank you for the access that we have to this prayer. And for the ability to come at this time,
we do rejoice that we have had a real sense of thy presence tonight in the place of prayer. We pray for those ones who have been offered up audibly and also inaudibly, that you will answer them, that you will give each and every one here the desires of their heart. Lord, bless us now. Continue with us, even as we go home now, and as we consider even our so great salvation. We thank thee for it tonight. We thank thee that we're saved and we're redeemed, and one day we are going to heaven to be with thee, which is far better. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to close our service tonight by singing the hymn 462. Hymn 462. Is the hymn, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. After we get the introduction, we will again remain seated and we'll just sing this hymn even unto the Lord.
Thank you.
thank you for the grace of God in our lives. We thank you that we can sing of your grace. We can sing of your mercy. For you have saved us and you have redeemed us with the blood of Christ. We pray even tonight and thank you for your presence here. We thank you for all aspects of this meeting. We thank you for this prayer meeting and Bible study. And we pray now that you would even be with us. You would take us to your homes in safety. Till we meet again on the Lord's Day. Bless, we pray, and undertake in Jesus' name of your honour, for your glory. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight, and we will just leave in an orderly fashion. You'll be asked to leave row by row. Thank you.